John 10 is just a continuation of John 9. Last week we talked about the blind man, and he said, all I know is now I could not see, and now I can see. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the leaders in that time were all up against him, right? And he said, you know, do you want to be a follower of him too? And they said, uh-uh. They kicked him out of the church, right? They kicked him out of the synagogue. Today's message is called The Good Shepherd. And so we just want to kind of walk through this a little bit, and not for sure where the Lord wants to go, but I'm going to walk through it just a little bit and talk about some of the scriptures as we go through some of the verses, and then we're going to have a little message for you, and then we're going to do whatever the Lord and Holy Spirit want to do. So it's in verse 1, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Thieves and robbers are ministry leaders who do not enter by God's eternal direction or path or means. But they use manipulation, authority, deception to lead people astray. You know, we have that today. People that are in the pulpits and people that are doing ministry, and we see this so much prevalent today, and actually it's going to get so worse in the next 3 to 5 years, or probably not even that. It's probably going to happen a lot faster, since the move of internet is so prevalent, or the move of social media is so prevalent today. As you see, our young children are so prevalent in the watching of videos and just taking all this information that they have on these videos and learning from it. Now, not all of it is good. There are people out there in the ministry side of it. I don't know if they're out there for themselves or they're out there for the Lord. But they are all after these likes and all after these, because there's money involved. When there's money involved, there's deception that comes in. Because if I can give you something that you don't know, and you grab a hold of it and you start to share it, and people start to share the videos, it doesn't matter if it is truth or not, right? You need to be able to discern the truth. And the thieves and robbers are going to be out there more and more today. And the enemy is going to try to lead you astray in just the smallest things. And so we want to be foundationally on the Word of God and foundationally know the Word of God in our life. See, these people will all be leading to Satan's direction and guidance, because he's going to lead you astray. The Pharisees were not only not literally leading people astray, but they were putting restraints on people. You know, religion will put restraints on you. It will bind you into this box. It's not the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to give you direction and guidance, but not to bind you and tear you down. As religious leaders, as a new one would come along, they would add new laws and cause you to have to be just bound by the law. And all while they are not bound by the law, they can do what they want, right? That's what they would do. Verse 2 says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. Who's the doorkeeper? John the Baptist. Listen to this. So, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The doorkeeper was John the Baptist. He introduced Jesus, right? He introduced Jesus. This is before he baptized him. He was the doorkeeper at the time. And then Jesus comes in and he introduces Jesus. In John 1:29, I didn't give this to him. It says, then the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is he who I said, and after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. Then it goes on that Jesus will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And so John was the doorkeeper at that moment, at that time, to introduce Jesus into the world. John, and chapter 4, or verse 4 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes So John, now John, he's teaching, talking about Jesus. And so you got to realize in this era, John wrote this in late 80s or 90s. But he has been talking about all these stories of Jesus since Pentecost. He's been talking about all these things that Jesus has done. And so when John writes this, we're getting this perspective of what Jesus had done. This is just a clip of what Jesus was doing in the earth. And he says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5 says, yes, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. See, the thief will disguise his voice. The thief will disguise his voice so it sounds like, it acts like, it sounds like, but it's not him. He will sound like the shepherd. We've all seen the videos of the shepherd. We've seen a video, I don't know when it was. I don't remember if it was John Taylor. He showed a video of the shepherd calling the sheep. And he would have other people call the sheep, and the sheep would not answer. They would just look up and go back to eating. But as soon as the shepherd began to call the sheep, they begin to come. They begin to come to the shepherd. Because why? They know his voice. Do you know the shepherd's voice this morning? Do you hear him calling you? Do you hear him swaying you in directions? Do you hear him moving you? Do you hear him correcting you? Guiding you? Verse 6 says, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Just remember that. Let's just go. I'm going to go right back to John 9 at the very beginning, and just read that to you real quick. John 9, at the end of it, it says, he was talking to them. And so I'm just going to go to John 9, 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had come, they had cast him out. So who did they cast out? They cast out the blind man out of the church. They cast him out because he would not bow down to them. He would not bow down to that leadership. And so Jesus had heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he found the blind man. He said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is him who, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Then, here it is, it says, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore sin remains in you. So this is just carrying on from that. He's still around the same crowd. He hasn't left the crowd that he was around in John 9. He's still there with them. And that's when he says Jesus used this illustration. But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them, even though they knew the scriptures. Even though they knew the Old Testament, even though they knew the prophets, even though they knew that there was a shepherd coming, even though they knew it, they did not understand him because he spoke in this parable. Verse 7 says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So you think about this, all through the Old Testament, there was people coming up, kings, leaders, priests. There were people coming up, and they were talking to the people, trying to gather them together, but actually they were scattering the sheep because of sin and what they were leading them into. They were leading them into false worship. They were leading them into the false worship of idols and stuff like that, and they were scattering the sheep. And then Jesus said, in verse 9, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Listen to this. Entering through him also guarantees freedom, security, spiritual provision, finding pasture for believers. So you get this open place. You get this place of there's freedom in this pasture before the Lord. There is just freedom. You know, when you have an animal and you have him fenced in, fences are good, right? I don't know if you know that or not, but fences are good. They are. Because you can take, say you have a dog that wants to run out in the road, and if you put a fence up, the dog can't run in the road. He's safe. He knows that, or you know, and he knows that if you let him out, he's going to stay in that area unless he wants to get in trouble and dig underneath the fence. And we have people like that that are Christians that like to dig underneath the fence because they don't like the boundaries that they have. Boundaries, we are free in our fence. God allows you so much room. Your pasture is wide open. The boundary, so at the cross, you can stand before the cross. It all pointed to the cross. And there was only one way, and you had to do all these things. But after the cross, Jesus set it free. Everything in front of you is free. So he said, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Then this verse here in verse 10, John 10:10, it says, for the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Who was Jesus really talking about? The thief. Do you know? The false teachers. Those that were standing in front of him. They didn't understand that. Now we equate that to Satan because Satan was in behind them. Okay? It was all orchestrated by the enemy and Satan. He does come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus was actually talking about them in front of him. The thief is the false teachers that they really didn't care about the sheep, just looking for their own benefit. The Pharisees and Sadducees were only looking for their own power, authority. It's like we see today YouTube, when people watch YouTube or social media, what we're seeing today is people are looking for this platform to get on. You see it all across the United States. And probably I don't see this stuff in Europe and different things like that, but you know what's going on all across the world. But you have these people, these platforms, and they're getting on and just speaking all kinds of stuff. And it's for likes. Some of them are true. Some of them are really got the heart for God. You have these people that are having dreams. They write down dreams every day. And how do you know their dreams are true? How do you know? So you listen and throw it away. Open up the Word of God and say, Lord, what do you have for me? See, they were also wanting power with no humility. They want that place of power and no humility. This is where these Pharisees and Sadducees were. They wanted the power and authority with no humility. To stand before God, you need to be humble. Not prideful. You cannot be prideful and stand before God. You have to be humble. Created the heavens and the earth. That's his ringtone. How many have the ringtone of Genesis? That was the Bible. See, we recognize that it was Satan in this verse, and we quote the verse all the time, but actually Jesus was saying to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and they were destroying the people. They were destroying their hearts. They were destroying their character. They were destroying them in ways that were putting them in jail or in bondage that they could not. How many love to live by the law? Does anybody like to live by the law? Or do you like to live by grace? Well, that is everyone in this place. Everyone in this place. What was it? Was it last Saturday that they had the burnout? Had Wabash? Yeah, it was last Saturday, and all the kids on the street like burnout, do the burnouts. That's all I hear Owen say now. Burnouts. Do burnout. And the law goes right beside him, flips the lights on, and then say, hey, quit. And then goes on, right? And then as soon as the cop goes by, they go, light him right back up. But they had no humility. None so ever. When you get into a place and position of leadership, you should have humility. They robbed the people of their faith, their joy, their purpose, and caused their spiritual decline and physical decline in their life. That's what religion will do. Take your joy, take your love, take your compassion, and take your purpose. That's what the enemy will try to do, is take your purpose from you. And absolutely, that is not what God wants, because he has a purpose in your life to move you, to grow you, to teach you, for you to abide in him, for you to love him. And so your purpose is to know him. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Here's the thing, a hireling will not lay his life down for the sheep or his agendas to fight, to protect the sheep. Only will look out for their own self-will and only his own self-direction. We see this today in the churches, that there are hirelings in the churches that they're only looking out for their own benefits. I'm not saying that there's a lot of them. I'm saying that there are some. That if there a problem arises, they will run and flee from the directions or truth of reality of what is going on and not embrace it and be in humility. You know, when you come into that place of humility, the Lord can use you. But when you come in that place of pride, the things that it just cannot work. Pride does not allow the Lord to move in your life. And then he goes on and says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my own. Verse 15, as my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And the sheep I have, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, who are they? Other sheep that I have, which are not of this fold, who are they? Gentiles, right? He's talking about Israel, then he talks about there's other sheep going to come into the fold. And he says, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay my life down, I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? There's a group around these. There's all kinds of people around them. This is during the Feast of Tabernacle, right after the Feast of Tabernacle. So there's a group of people in Jerusalem, and this is going on. Jesus heals the blind man and during Tabernacles, and this is all going on, and all these people around, and they're saying, the Pharisees and Sadducees saying, why are you listening to this guy? He's speaking like a demon. He's being like a demon. He's mad, it says. And then in verse 21, it says, others said that these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so a couple things I just want to bring out today. The first thing is Jesus identifies as a true shepherd. Isaiah 40:11 says, he will feed. This is Old Testament. The Pharisees and Sadducees should have known this. It says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead them who are with young. They would have known Isaiah. They would have known this verse. They would have known that there's a shepherd coming. But see, there was so much tension about why I need this authority, and you're going to take all this from me. And they were needed. The Pharisees and Sadducees were needed because they kept the word, they kept the law. But now a new thing was coming. Jesus was coming to the earth to give them freedom from the law. Not to do away with the law, right? The Bible tells us not to do away with the law. Because we need a direction, we need guidance, we need to know what we can do and what we can't do. But Jesus gives us that place. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, you do all the other laws that are in underneath those. But see, the problem is that the world or the church, I could say the church worldwide, does not love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength, because they live their life how they want to and not pour out the things that God has for you. We don't surrender our life and lay it down like he said, take up your cross. We as church people, I don't know, you probably hear them too. People that say they go to church, people that go to church and their life, what they do does not reflect the life of a Christian or a life of a follower of Christ or a life of a relationship, should I say, a relationship with Jesus. Is it hard to live the Christian life? Is it really hard to follow those two rules, two laws? Is it really hard to follow those? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Well, that's a tough one. Do you do that? That means with everything that you do, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Are you putting idols before God? What would be the idols today? Okay, Facebook, social media. How do you look at Facebook, social media? What do you use? Use a computer? Back in the 2008s, probably 9s, 10s, it was all computer. As we've moved into this, I don't know, when did really the phones really get active when you could just, like a home hand computer? The phones is an idol. I don't know if you guys realize that, but if you watch your friends and watch your, I don't care how old you are. If you watch your friends, they're scrolling on social media. This is an idol. This is an idol because, okay, maybe I'm looking at Christian stuff. Maybe I'm not. Right? But here's, if we can do those two things, if we can love the Lord our God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and not have no other gods before him, right? Not have no other things before him. It's okay to look at your phone. It's okay to check on people, see what's going on. It's okay to do that, but it can't not take all your time. If you would open your phone today and see how many hours you use your phone today or last week or however long, how does it do that? It tells you for the month. Does it tell you for the day? It does tell you for the day, for the week, for the month, or probably for the year. If you would take those hours, how long you are on your phone, tell me if you have an idol. If you do not open your Bible up that long. Tell me where your idol is at. Tell me if you do not pray, if you pray that long. Do you pray and sit before the Lord that long? If you did that, could you imagine what the power of God would be like in the church? Not only in the church, it would be in the world. That would mean true Christians would be pressing into the Father, pressing into the heart of God and knowing him. This is where we think, oh, it's not an idol. I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm sitting on this thing and it's occupying all my time. We're just a little different than they were back then. In Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, Ezekiel prophesies about the shepherd, okay? It's also a coming future, but it's also what Jesus was doing. So Ezekiel prophesies in 1 through 10 about the coming shepherd and how they were corrupted and only cared about themselves. This was talking about those people that were in place, in charge, and what they were going to do. So Ezekiel 4 says this. Well, they were prophesying. Ezekiel said that they would... that they did not feed their sheep. He's saying, this is what the shepherds did in Ezekiel 34. They would not feed their sheep. They did not clothe themselves and feed themselves. And so here's what the people, the leaders would do. They would take care of themselves, take care of their families, and then all the sheep of Israel would just let them go. They would not feed them, would not care for them, would not would not clothe them. But I guarantee the leaders all had fine dudes. They had fine duds on. They were fed. Their tables were full. And here he says in verse 4, he says, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. This was the shepherds of the day in Ezekiel time. And Ezekiel prophesied those things. Then in Ezekiel 34:11-31, he talks about the good shepherd. He talks about the true and good shepherd. Thus they shall know. This is Ezekiel 34:31 and 30 and 31. It says, thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. And so he was prophesying of a time coming where God was going to bring them back in. It also talks in Jeremiah 10:9 that states that the shepherd will regather his sheep. He will regather his sheep. We know in 1948 that he regathered his sheep. He brought them back to the nation of Israel. And prophecy and all the things of end times events are escalating from that moment. And then some of you were here. Some of you were born. Some of you were children at that time in 1948. Some of us are the offspring of you guys. And here's the thing. You guys got to witness the major, major turn of events. Now, I don't know what that was like. Do you remember what that was like in 1948 when Israel became a nation? You guys remember? Was it exciting or was it just like, oh, no big deal? I mean, I don't know. What was it like? Do you remember that? How old was you? 48. I'm not saying anything. Mom, was you excited? You was six. You was 6 years old. Yeah. So there was a thing. You was 11. You know, it meant something to the church at the time, but then it just kind of laid idle. I mean, we talk about it, but you know, that was the big explosion of what God is getting ready to do in the earth, and it just didn't happen today. Even Jesus come to the earth, all the disciples and all Israel thought that the end was coming, right? When they were so excited, they were telling everybody that Jesus is coming back. They thought it was tomorrow, but it was 2,000 years. We know that 2,000 years, and I'm telling you, it's 2,000 years from when Jesus was crucified. I'm telling you, what has it been, 70-some years since 1948? That the Israel became a nation, and we are in that generational period of when Christ could come back. Are you excited for the Good Shepherd to come back and gather all his people? We need to be excited to tell other people that the Good Shepherd is coming back, and we don't have much time. It says, when the sheep hear the true voice of the shepherd, they will follow him. Though Jesus' ministry, through Jesus' ministry, he regathered, healed, and fed the sheep, and as he said he would in Ezekiel. Listen to that. He did all the things. As the Messiah came in, he began to show what a true shepherd was. The miracles that were done during Jesus' time was just unsurmountable miracles. That this Bible says that they could not even write them all down in a book. Number two is Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. Most important item for the shepherd was the sheep. Without a doubt, there was no other thing important but the sheep. This was his life. The sheep were his life. It was his finance. It was his, he would give them to his kids. You know, I can't even think of the word now. Inheritance. There was inheritance. And so these sheep were the most important thing to him. Now, if you have something that is important to you, say your children, what would you do for your children? Would you fight for them? would you die for them? Well, this is what the shepherd would do. See, the bad shepherds, the false shepherds, didn't care about the sheep. They didn't fight for the sheep. They were all about their own selves. The shepherd would give his life for the sheep. They had to fight lions and bears. Think about that. With a sling and a staff. Could you fight a lion and a bear? Would you stand in front of a 400, 500, 600 pound bear? Or would you just give him a sheep? Here, take a sheep. Leave me alone. Leave the rest of them a flock. Would you sacrifice a sheep or would you sacrifice your life? Think about that. Here comes a lion. You know the lion is there. You run towards the lion, not run away from it. This is the lifestyle of a shepherd. That Jesus loves you so much, he ran towards the lion and the bear. He ran towards Satan and defeated him for you. That he loves you that much that he laid his life down for you. The true shepherd will lay his life down for you. You know, when you think about this, the sheep, and because this was so prevalent in those days, that the raising of sheep and the herding of sheep, and so prevalent during those times, that this is what everybody knew. Everybody knew about the sheep and how tough those shepherds were. We hear David talking about it. He was a boy out in the pastures of the land, and he'd fight lions and bears as a boy. As a boy. That means you had been out there fighting lions and bears. While his brothers or all his brothers are back there eating in the house, they're out there eating and drinking and being merry. And David was out there fighting the lions and the bears to keep the sheep from being devoured by the enemy. This is the difference between our true shepherd and the false shepherds out there. They're not for you, but Jesus is for you. They will lay his life down for you. They would call the sheep. You know, they're out in pasture. It's getting evening time. You know that the varmints are out there ready to prowl on the sheep. So he brings them in during the night. And he would call them by name. Lucy. Mary. Spot. Whatever. And when he called them by name, they would come into the sheepfold, and he would know them, and he would see them, and he would touch them. He would check their heads, he would check their bodies, he would check the wool, and he would heal them, he would fix them, he would mend them, he would tend to them. Jesus knows you by name, and he calls you each and every day. Each and every, if you think about this at night before you go to bed and before you rest, because the sheep would come in for this place of rest. There was nothing out there. They didn't need to eat anything. All they had to do was come into the sheepfold, lay down, and rest. Many Christians feel like they get no rest because the enemy is attacking them constantly and always devouring them and always trying to just push on them. But the Bible tells me that Jesus gives me rest. And so I got to come into that place where he calls me by name at night. Listen for him to call you by name. Listen to him to call you by name. And come into the sheepfold at night and just rest. Rest upon him. Rest in him. Because the shepherd is laying in front of the door. But there is no enemy, no thief, no robber can come over the gate. He has to come through the gate. There's only one way in and one way out. The shepherd only lets you in and the shepherd only lets you out. There was no other way that you could go but in and out of the gate where the shepherd was. And he would lay across the gate at night, and a bear, I would imagine bears and lions came and tried to take and kill the sheep. They tried to come and snag a sheep away, but the shepherd would get up and he would defend the flock. He would defend that territory of the sheep. So neat that the shepherds at that time would call them by name. And it's just knowing that. that he knows every hair on your head. He knows you by name. He knew you in your mother's womb when he formed you. He knows them individually. He knows you individually. We're not all lumped together as this one group of people that he separates you out. Sean, he separates you out compared to me. He separates me and you and everyone else. He separates out individually to check on you, to know you, to feel you, to tend to you, to care for you. There was only one way in and one way out. And he is the way. He is the gate. He is the true shepherd for us. So as we close this morning, we all need to discern the voice of Jesus. And if you're listening to other voices, you need to be tuning in to the Father's voice, to Jesus' voice. There's going to be other voices calling. There's going to be other voices calling you. I'm telling you, there's going to be other voices calling you, you younger kids. Younger men and women are going to be, the people are going to be calling you to call you out of places. Call you into places that you should not be. Call you to do things that you should not do. And it's so tempting because everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it. Even when I told my dad that, did you guys ever tell your parents that? Man, everybody's staying out past midnight. Everybody, even the 16-year-olds are staying out past midnight. But you be home at midnight. You be home at this time. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right and make it good. Just because other Christians are out drinking alcohol and doing those things doesn't make it right for you. Just because other Christians are doing things that they probably should not do doesn't make it right for you. You got to know where you settle in and where God has given you grace. Some people have freedom in different things. But what does the Bible say about your freedom? We need to follow the shepherd. Second thing is we need to follow the shepherd. Are you following the shepherd in your life? Are you following your own will and desires? Are you following, or you don't even hear the shepherd's voice? If you don't hear the shepherd's voice, you cannot follow the shepherd. You got to listen for the shepherd's voice. And if you don't know his voice, open up the scriptures. Take you 20 minutes in the morning. You can read a chapter in the morning in 20 minutes. Maybe two if you're a fast reader. Not just to read the Bible, but to get it inside of you. Things will come alive in as you read the Word of God and then study it. 20 minutes over. How long does it take you to drink a cup of coffee? Slow down. That coffee's not hot enough yet. You're drinking cold coffee. We need to walk more dependent on Jesus, our true shepherd. We need to be more dependent on him. We need to, everything that we sung this morning, everything led up to what the true shepherd is. He is love. The last song says, I will depend on you. I will depend on you when I'm my dying bed. I will depend on you. My hope is in you. I will depend on you for the rapture or the second coming. I will depend on you. I will depend on you when I'm sick. I will depend on you when I'm lonely. I will depend on you when I'm depressed. I will depend on you no matter what is going on in my life. I will depend on you. Times of grief and times of sorrow, We need to depend on him and know his voice. He is our true and great shepherd. I know it's not one of those powerful messages this morning. It's not one of those like last week. But this is what I want you to know is you've heard these sermons before. You've heard these messages before that he is the true and great shepherd. That he will lead you and guide you. And do you really believe it? Would you grab that? Do you really believe that he is the true and great shepherd? Do you depend on him in everything of your life? This is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where we come to this place of trusting in him. See, when we go through these, I had a friend call me and is going through a really, really tough time. Christian guy, all right, dealing with some really tough stuff. And we talked about this the other day, and I said, you have been trained for this right here. You've been trained. You know all the right stuff to do. Don't go listening to the enemy, and because the enemy loves to speak to you when you're going through trials and tribulations. He loves to speak to you when the enemy is just beginning to destroy you. Jesus will come. So when you practice something over and over and over, you get good at it. Is that true? Right? If I picked up a guitar, I would not play very good music. But I could strum it. I could make a note. But if I did that over and over and over, I could just instantly play. If we get into those times where we are, I want to say that it's so easy when nothing is going on in your life. It's so easy. Say, just trust Jesus, Tabitha. You just need to trust him with your healing. You need to trust him no matter what. Right? It's so easy to say that until you go through the sickness, until you go through the disease, until you go through the grief. It's so easy to say that stuff whenever it's not you. And so we talked and I said, there's nothing the enemy has in you. Here's what you do. You get back before the Lord. You go in. If you need a key to a church, I'll give you a key to the church. You can come. He don't go here. I said, you can come in and lay before the Lord and rest before him because you know there's nothing else you can do. You come in and rest and lay before the Lord. It's like coming into that sheepfold. There's times in our life we're going to come to that place where there's absolutely nothing I can do but trust in him. Don't allow the enemy to destroy you. Because the first thing he goes is where? Right here to your mind. Christ is, he's not with me. He's not for me. No one can help me out. No one can carry me through. And then the enemy begins to deceive you. Deception comes in. And then where's your God at? Then you start to hear these voices in your mind. And stay out of it. But here's what I do know. I want to do communion, and then we're going to open up the altars for prayer. Because I want to continue to be the church. At the end of the church services or end of the synagogue days, whenever the first church would meet, and this is a group of people, there's all believers inside of the synagogue, and there was really no unbelievers inside the synagogue because they happened outside on the streets where they would win the lives to people and tell them about Jesus, and they would come into the fellowship of the church. And then after they opened the word up and after they worshiped the Lord and they took communion, they would say, what do you have need of? What do you have need of? And then they would supply that need.